Yoga is the unity or the harmony or the oneness that exists already. You and I are one. And can I discover that? If I think even in our own domestic or social relationship, if we proceed from there, it's easier. We'll probably discover very easily that you and I are in truth one, in fact one, and that you don't have to battle to become one. When you do not pay too much attention and lay too much emphasis on the dissimilarities, but knowing you and I are one, we can only become one if we are one already. So look for the harmony that exists already, instead of going on beating about the bush and trying to reject the disharmony that does not exist. Fighting the disharmony that does not exist is like curing phantom pain. You know what phantom pain means? Yeah? Pain in a limb that does not exist. Have you seen some? If you see that, you will never forget. I saw that once in a what's called the veterans hospital. The soldiers in the Second World War. And they listened to it. We talk, and there was some asana demonstration. And I was explaining to them what is good for what. And one man in the front row, he had a wooden leg. One leg had been amputated. And he was smoking away, and he looked at me and said, "Swami, sometimes I feel excruciating pain in that foot. It's not there. What yoga posture is good for?" What yoga posture is good for that? Okay. So, when we are struggling against this disharmony which does not exist, we are trying to push away something which is not there. If I realize that this harmony must be there already and proceed from there, it is easier for me to discard the disharmony. It is only then, perhaps, that I will even attempt to examine this disharmony. Otherwise, I don't. If I start from the premise that you and I are completely different, totally different, that we shall never come together, we don't even start, we don't even examine the disharmony, we don't even examine the ill will or the conflict that might exist between us. If you and I are one, why is it there appears to be this disharmony? If I and God are one, fundamentally, basically, what is it that creates a fracture, a division? Unless I understand that also, I cannot positively realize. To realize means make real. Make real in the sense that it is not real to me now. Can I make that oneness, make that unity real? When I examine that, I see one thing. What has brought about this disharmony? What has brought about this conflict? How is it that if God is omnipresent, if whatever the self or whatever you wish to call it is omnipresent, how is it that I think it is different? How is it I think I am a small little individual and God is omnipresent? God is omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent, and I am a small little thing. When the truth is omnipresent, when God is omnipresent, what is it that stands between me and God? When something is, the simplest way to understand this clearly is to have a blackboard. Wall. The wall is.
Do you want
backwards? No, tomorrow. From tomorrow. A clean white surface, like this. It's homogeneous, isn't it? It's pure white or cream. And right in the center of it, you write the word me. What has interfered with the homogeneity of the color of the blackboard? The me. So you merely wipe that me, the blackboard, the homogeneity of the blackboard is restored. Or not quite. Can you see that now? The blackboard is white, and you write me or your name on it. That is the only place where the omnipresence does not seem to exist. You wipe that. It's there because it was there all the time. Nothing had ever happened to it. The whiteness or the blackness of the blackboard had not been interfered with at all. It was still there behind the white chalk. That is the exact meaning of the word yoga. In this omnipresence, in this cosmic oneness, in this cosmic being, somehow a concept of me has arisen. It's not true. If you accept this as true, then of course, you don't even attempt to wipe it. You are still certain that you have destroyed the blackness of the blackboard at that point. Me. When you wrote the word me, you think that the blackboard is not black at that spot. It is black. That blackness has not been taken away. You have merely what in yoga and Vedanta they are called superimposition. A concept has been superimposed upon this omnipresence, upon this oneness, and for the time being, therefore, that homogeneity seems to have been disturbed. It's not disturbed, it's there. You wipe that mean, then the blackboard springs back into its real nature. What is Hatha Yoga, we'll discuss tomorrow. But carrying on from where what we are discussing now, Hatha Yoga also must enable me to discover the truth concerning the self which is beyond me. Just like the blackness of the blackboard, which persists unchanged behind and underneath this word me, printed in white chalk, there is something which is beyond the me, beyond the ego sense, beyond all thought, beyond all concepts. And Hatha Yoga must also lead me beyond this me to that truth. That's right. How does one know that this, there is something beyond the me which still exists, which functions, which lives in what I consider this body, my body? How do I know that such a thing exists? The simplest answer that has been given universally by most of these great masters is examine your own sleep. During sleep, you are there, hopefully. You didn't die. Life went on. The movement of energy was still there. Consciousness was still there. Yeah? No. Why not?
Because I'm not aware.
Right. Thank you. I am not aware. But consciousness was still there. If somebody tickled your foot, you withdraw it. If your blanket fell off the bed, you picked it up. And some people even walk away from somewhere else. The intelligence was there. I was not aware. That's a million-dollar statement. I was not aware. Naturally, I was not aware. I'm glad that she interrupted and said this. Because I think that is terribly important in the practice of yoga. I need not be aware of how this body can stand upside down. How this body, which has been accustomed to standing on its 2 feet, how it is able to stand on its head. I need not be aware. I'm not saying that you can do it blindly, sleepily. So when actions are done mechanically, one insists, become aware that you are doing it. It's true. Action done with awareness is better than action done blindly, automatically, mechanically. But there is something beyond this awareness, beyond this I awareness. I am not aware that I was asleep. I am not aware that my intelligence continued to be during sleep. I am not aware. Which only underlines what we have been discussing, that there is something beyond which I am not aware of. Or there is something which the I is not aware of, which is the truth. Something which the I is not aware of, which is the truth. How do I know sleep? When I examine sleep, this is the immediate lesson I learn from it, that there is energy, there is prana, we'll come to that later, energy, and there is intelligence, consciousness, and these two continue to operate even when I am not aware. Even when I was not aware. What happened when sleep came to an end? I became aware that I am lying in bed. That is when all the trouble starts. And so, the yogi tells us that there is something beyond the me, beyond the I or the ego sense, and that something is the truth for all time to come. That was the truth, that is the truth, and that will ever be the truth. It is when a desire arises in it, you don't know where, it is when a desire arises, I must become aware. It is then that the homogeneity or the oneness seems to be interfered with. There is an apparent loss of homogeneity. There is an apparent loss of unity. There is an apparent loss of harmony and oneness when mind or ego sense interferes in this homogeneity. From there on, all our problems start. All problems, including the problems which concern the body. Then I begin to think that this is my body and that I must look after it. There is already a confusion there. If you ask me, this is Swami Vankateshananda. Yes? Huh? So, when I say this is Swami Vankateshananda, I almost suggest that this body is Vankateshananda. But then I also say that I must look after this body. You know, there is a dichotomy there. I have not been able to understand this puzzle. If this is Swami Vankateshananda, it should know how to look after itself. But then suddenly I turned around and said, this is my body, I must look after itself. So that I think this relationship between oneself and the body has never been clearly understood by anybody. Is the body me? Or is it mine? If the body itself is the self, it should look after itself. But suddenly I say, no, I must look after this body. So the confusion starts from there. And what is known as Hatha Yoga is meant to enable us to see that the body can jolly well look after itself. Not may not be the body itself, but there is something in the body activating it, intelligently making it function. That can look after itself. We have a little trick for it. Who is free? You come. Stand up on the chair, please. Thank you. You can come to the edge. Nothing else happened to you. Please, all of you, watch him. No, don't look at your feet. Your feet will still be on the chair or below your knees. Don't fly anywhere else. Look straight up. Straight at him. I may ask them to do what they something else, but please don't be disturbed. Look at his toes now. Now, you don't worry. You don't become self-conscious. That is being done in spite of him. He is not doing it. Is it right? You can also feel the toes ding, 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 dancing. That dancing is done in spite of you. Stop it. Can you? If you think I'll stop it, it'll get worse. If you try to stop it, it'll become worse. Is that right? Mm-hmm. Right. Thank you. That's enough. That is it. That is yoga already. If standing there, he can figure out, my God, I want to stop this. And it says, now, sorry, we know what to do. That is yoga. And if all the yoga postures are done in that spirit of watching, my God, all kinds of fantastic things are happening in the body. Suddenly you discover that intelligence which sustained your life in sleep and which is the same thing that made the feet tremble, that intelligence is capable of looking after the body. And that the most important discovery is that intelligence is beyond me. You discovered it, no? That's all Hatha Yoga. It's finished. You can go home. The discovery that intelligence is beyond the me, beyond the ego sense, beyond the mind. So however much I can train myself, of course, you can train myself to stop that. If you do that, I'll push you over the balcony. There is something, there is that intelligence, there is that life force, prana. And that is beyond me, beyond the ego sense. It is the discovery of this that really promotes health. Not all the pushing and tugging and the chugging that people bring into what they call this Hatha Yoga. Therefore, Swami Shivananda's own unique teaching was that even if you are able to practice only a few of these yoga asanas, practice them with such tremendous inner awareness that you will discover the God within, which is beyond me. The awareness is meant only as a door. Don't get shut into it. Get out of it. I must become aware of this, and when I become aware of this, I am able to look beyond the me. That is done, of course, even a few yoga postures will do. And even they can be done fairly mildly. Hence, Swami Shivananda always insisted that practice these yoga asanas without, listen carefully, without undue exertion. When it came to pranayama, his motto was, inhale as long as comfortable, and hold as long as comfortable, and exhale as long as comfortable. One word is not more important than the other. I'll demonstrate for you, just for fun. This is comfortable, isn't it? I'm inhaling like this. holding it. And we exhale. But it is not as long as comfortable. I am not trying to reach out. Can I prolong this? Still not making it uncomfortable. When you combine the two, you have got yoga again. When you combine the two, there again you got yoga. So that I am not trying to kill myself, nor am I trying to be too soft. If I am on this side, I am caught up in the me, in the anxiety, that I am going to preserve this body and I am terribly important and I must work out all the laws and principles of the game. Then I am caught up in the I, in the me. If I try to jump out of it, I'll discover that it is not possible either. It's the me again that tries to jump out. And so, all the practices of Hatha Yoga are to be done as contemplation, as meditation. In such a way that they may enable one to discover the power, the intelligence that is beyond the me. And it is here that they are, the yoga asanas or the hatha yoga or whatever you wish to call it, becomes part of the total scheme of yoga.